Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey y'all, I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 388. Y'all, let me just tell y'all that I have been, well, we've both been an emotional wreck all fucking week. I'll let Donna tell her shit. My shit, though, we all know that Donna and I are both extra large pizzas. Well, this week, I had an appointment with my dermatologist. I've seen her before, and I really liked her. She was, like, highly recommended, and
that's not true.
Well, by somebody, but apparently...
Not me.
Yeah, it was the one that Donna didn't like. Well...
I'm just her best friend, you know, that saw that lady for months and months.
But I really, I guess I didn't, like, I guess I knew, but I wasn't like...
Oh, she just thought that I was making it up.
No.
But okay.
I wasn't sure that we were sure it was the same person.
Oh, I knew.
Okay. Well, I went to her. And we're talking about stuff. It's a full body exam. So picture it. Me, bra, panties. I left my socks on. Apparently I wasn't supposed to. She had to take them off of me. Bra, panties, gown, open to the back, doesn't fit, paper. I already ripped it because I'm too big for the gown.
Those fucking paper things are...
Don't. I was too big for the gown. There was a little strip and I was like, no shot I'm even trying to tie that thing. So I'm sitting there in my knickers. And, you know, very uncomfortable. And it's a whole body exam. So she's like lifting boobs up, pulling down bra straps, like moving fat rolls everywhere. And we're talking. I had some questions about some skin things. And this became an entire session on the fact that I needed to lose weight. And like, I know it's the running joke. Like you go to a doctor for a sore throat and they tell you you need to lose weight. And it's like, bro, I have strep throat. Like it has nothing to do with my weight. And like, while I've experienced that a little bit, this week was probably the most like egregious of them all. Like I literally left and like bawled my eyes out. It was horrible.
Well, and like way to kick you while you're down because you've just been having a tough week.
Well, but also there's no way that she couldn't on that.
No,
but it's also
but
like
feeling like no, I know, but like the universe,
right?
I'm saying, because like we both have been feeling like we need to get back on the healthy train and all of that, and then
literally had said to Colby the night before, I've got to stop eating candy, because had I eaten half of a bag of Tootsie Roll logs, sure had. But here's the thing, I was the most vulnerable that you could possibly be in panties, bra, and a gown that I've already ripped because I'm too big for it. And you've literally looked over, like it, even in between my toes, like was there sock fuzz there? Don't know. You've looked over every inch of my body and you're telling me that I need to have the weight loss surgery and I need to get on the shots. And then whenever I tell you that I can't afford the shots nor the surgery because my insurance doesn't cover it, she literally told me that I need to make that a priority in my family's budget and that just some like personal things that we're spending money on, we don't need to be spending money on it because I need to be getting the shots.
Yeah, that's absurd.
To tell someone that they like... I'm just going to use a car for an example. You don't need to buy that car. You need to prioritize your health and you need to be paying $500 a month for freaking injections. When she said $500 a month, which I mean, I knew they were that much. When she said $500 a month, I literally said, absolutely not. I can't afford that.
Right.
Who thinks that people can just drop $500? Like, just like an average Joe could be like, yeah, I've got an extra $500 to spare for an injection.
No. And when I got on ZepBound, I had to pay that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I was robbing Peter to pay Paul. And it's like, Peter and Paul are me. But it's just like, oh, so I'll skip this and pay this and then I'll do this, you know?
Right. It's like, it was just like the elitism of expecting that someone could just be like, here's $500 a month for medicine that, like, I've actually tried before back when Wegovy was only like, what was it, like $50 a month. As I did try it and it made me so sick to be like, you know what? You need to spend $500 a month to do it again.
Yeah. I didn't really experience that with her, but I kind of did, where she, you know, she was focused on diet.
Yeah. She said a couple of things about like my skin, like, That's diet.
Which some of it, yes, because it causes inflammation and stuff. But then there's also other things to consider. I was not a fan.
Well, I noticed, no, I am never going back. I was like, that was one of the most uncomfortable I'd ever been. Colby was like, I'm so glad I was not there with you because we'd have thrown us out. You know, one time when Colby went to one of his doctor was big and the doctor came in and was like, well, first thing, you're fat. And Colby goes, well, you're fucking fat too. And the guy goes, well, I mean, I didn't mean to offend you. And Colby goes, well, you did.
Yeah. That is one thing, like, when a doctor is, like, a bigger person too, and you're telling me I need to watch certain things, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. But I really just wanted to be like, to this doctor, like, don't you think I know? Oh, and she recommended like the most ridiculous like diet culture bullshit of like, you need to try this. Have you tried this? Have you tried this? And I'm like, yeah, I've been fat since I'm five. Yes, I've tried those things.
Right.
Every single thing that you've said, I have done like to the nth degree because I've always been big, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I just wish I could have said that in that moment. But you're just so like, you know, when you're literally like half naked and just like awkwardly like, yeah, like just get me out of here before I cry kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, okay. On the same like being an extra large pizza thing. So the other day I accidentally dropped my phone, but it landed like on the screen, but on the carpet part, like my little rug. And I was like, whew, okay. Glad it didn't break. I've been wanting a new phone and, you know, like when you put it out in the universe and then it's going to break. And then like, again, I don't have the money to buy a new phone.
Yeah.
And Verizon, if you're listening, your service is really sucking and I'm thinking about turning to AT&T. So it was just like, I don't want to have to get a new phone on Verizon. And then what if I, all that. So that was the night before. Well, then yesterday, it's been a long 2 weeks, and my comfort food, we all know, is McDonald's. And more so than just that, it's a frappe. And I had got extra caramel drizzle, because this is how I like it.
That makes my stomach hurt. I love caramel, but sometimes when it's in my coffee, like, it literally makes my stomach hurt.
Oh, I love it so much. I get a large caramel frappe, no whip, extra caramel drizzle, and a shot of espresso. I don't know what it is about McDonald's, because I'm also calling y'all out, local McDonald's. They just put that caramel drizzle on the fucking cup. Like, one time I was like, did you put it on the outside of the cup instead? Like, and they hand it to you.
And it's sticky?
It's sticky, right? So, and like, one time I was like, just looked and said, can you wipe that off? Because it was so bad. Like, when you hand it to me with you having a paper towel to hand it to me and then just going to hand it to me.
Excuse me. Can you wipe that off, please?
Sure did. Because it was fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't do it for anything because I'll just be like, hey, can I have some extra napkins and I'll wipe it off or whatever. Sure. But that really, I was like, did someone put that on the outside? Because it looked like.
Yeah.
What? But anyway, we were going to do our Facebook Live and so I got home, had to do some like stuff before that. So I was just like rushing we got off Facebook Live. I did have two gummies. And then I was talking to Chris and I said, you know when I dropped my phone last night? I broke it. How did I break it? And it was like on the very end, he was like, oh, man. I was like, oh, my God. Wait. It's caramel. Never mind. It was on the side. And it was dried on the side because it had gotten on my phone.
Also, that was the longest fucking story to tell us that you had caramel on your phone.
You know, I just had to play it up like really? But like,
wow.
You know,
this is how I would have told that story. I dropped my phone and I would have told all the phone stuff. And then I said, and then the next day I got McDonald's and I got caramel frappe, extra caramel and a shot because, you know. And then how about I was like on my fucking gummies and didn't know. And I had caramel on the side and I thought my phone was broken.
Oh, that's good.
Mm.
Well,
I will say though, on her gummy, excuse me, gummies, she had two. She did finally understand something I've been saying for like 10 years. And I was like, bitch, I've been saying that for, she's like, somebody else said it on the Am I the Asshole? And she's like, that makes so much sense. And I'm like, I've literally been saying that for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And it just was like, cue the fucking rainbow, glass shattered. All of a sudden it made sense to her.
Don't talk about glass shattering because it was almost my phone.
Well, if you want to know what we're talking about, the Am I the Asshole Facebook Live is on Patreon. So, you know, patreon.com/theAPC podcast if you want to get into that. How soon is too soon to decorate for Halloween?
Chris said September is when we want to decorate. Like September 1st, we're going to start decorating.
Yeah, Colby's got the itch for it too. And I think we usually do like the first week or so in September. But we wait for the outside decor until like October.
Yeah.
Because y'all know, Colby and I love the blow-ups. And so we have some Halloween ones. And well, we kind of have a decent amount of Halloween outside mm-hmm. stuff. But so that will usually wait until October. But man, I just was sitting here thinking about how much work it is to put it all up. And I'm like, oh, God.
I know.
There's so much. And why do we just keep buying more?
But it just makes me so happy.
Yeah, temporarily. And then I'm like my stomach hurts because I had too much caramel and I spent too much money on it.
It's going to be weird. I'm going to have someone to decorate with.
It's good. You're going to be like, wow. This was so fast.
Oh my God, right? I'll be like,
wow, I got this done in a day, not four.
Right? Also, I'm going to be like, that's not where that goes.
That's the hard part. So Colby's more the, like, well, we both kind of, but like bringing it in from the garage. And like, he's more the help decorator for Christmas because like the village takes so long. Like it really, you know, he helps me like put the stuff in, plug them in, do all that. But yeah. Like where to put the stuff, I just kind of do that.
Yeah.
But he's the one that's like taking the empty totes back out for me and all of that.
Yeah. But can you believe that we're talking about Halloween?
Like, no.
This year has flown by. Before you know it, we're going to be on a cruise.
Oh my God, y'all, I forgot. Yes, it's so close. Hey, if y'all want to go with us, you got to go to crimewaveatsea.com/creep and put in your information. They'll give you your fan code, send you all the information. We are less than 90 days out. It is a Royal Caribbean cruise. I had sweet tea at dinner, so I'm lit. Can you tell?
Okay, but I cannot say that correctly to save my life.
Royal Caribbean?
Yeah, Royal Caribbean. See? did you see? I thought I said it right at first. But Royal Caribbean. I can't say it. Like, I have to say Royal Caribbean.
Try it again a little bit faster.
Royal.
Say Royal faster.
Royal Caribbean. I don't know. But like, if it was Caribbean.
Do it one more time. Say Royal fast and then slow Caribbean.
Royal Caribbean.
There you go. Well, that was, you were but on like 0.5 speed.
Yeah, but like if I am just saying it, it's Royal Caribbean. That's it. I can't fucking say it.
Well, you also can't say a Rottweiler dog.
Well,
tell the folks how you say Rottweiler.
Rottweiler.
That's not how you say it. Wattwalla.
Wattwalla.
You tried to church it up. I did not say the R at the beginning.
Well, I've evolved.
Oh, okay.
It was all the royals before that I got me going.
Okay, let's jump into my story. This is the story of Matrice Richardson. Now, this has been on...
Oh, God.
I hate when she knows my story.
Absolutely. Who doesn't know this story?
Well, somebody may not.
Buckle up.
This story has been on a lot of shows, a lot of podcasts. We're going to do our best dive in it to see how much we can get in, but there's a lot to unpack in this story. We're talking about Matrice Richardson, who at the time of the story was 24 years old. Super bright, just this kind, everyone loved her person.
She lit up a room.
She did literally all of the classic things. She was born in Los Angeles in 1985. And from a very young age, people like loved her. She was like kind of just this like outgoing, I want to say gregarious, even though I don't know what that word is, but people always use that to describe like outgoing people.
What did you say? Oh, you said egregious. Egregious.
Gregarious.
No.
Egregious?
Yeah, you said that earlier. So then I was like, damn, that's your word of the day, but never mind. They're two different.
It's like Caribbean and whatever the fuck Donna said earlier.
Caribbean.
Like, I can't even say that. Caribbean?
It makes no fucking sense. But if you said, oh, what's the movie with Johnny Depp? Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, absolutely. You but know, we're going to the Caribbean.
Yeah, but we're going to the Caribbean.
Matrice had a very like close-knit family. In high school, she was a cheerleader. Everyone loved her. And then she went to Cal State Fullerton for college and had like just graduated. She majored in psychology and she was wanting to become a child psychologist because she just like that was her passion.
Which I feel like it takes a special person to want to go into child psychology.
Now, it seems like she was working, like some stuff said an administrative assistant, and then some stuff made it seem like it was like an internship at a psychology place. You know, that's the real term for it, psychology place. But she also worked on the side as a dancer at an LGBT club. And that was something that like she was like super proud of. She was like, she was a dancer like her whole life. And this was not something that she like hid from anybody.
She was at the Pink Pony Club.
At the time of the story, she was in a committed relationship with her girlfriend, Tessa Moon, and they had been together for like 2 years. But around 2009, her family did start to notice that Matrice was a little different. She was a little more scattered. Her behavior was a little more just unusual. But she didn't have a mental health disorder. She didn't have, she wasn't on any medication or anything like that with, like I said, no formal diagnosis.
Also, what's that like to be with no medication that you have to take?
I don't fucking know.
Me, on the other hand, wanted a new pill minder for my birthday because I take so many goddamn pills.
Well, on September 16th of 2009, Matrice had gone to see her great-grandmother. That's actually who she was living with. And she told her grandmother, like, I'm going to, like, go out for the night, yada, yada, yada. So she gets in her car and she drives. It's, I think it's like 40 minutes, 40 miles, which are very different things in L.A. because that's where the story takes place. But she gets up going to Malibu and to a place called Joffrey's, which is like this like upscale restaurant, you know, beautiful ocean view, all the things.
Well, with a name like Joffrey's, you know it's going to be.
Pretentious, yes.
You're going to raise that pinky high and no screw tops up in there.
Lots of grape upon them. Now, once Matrice got there, her behavior was bizarre. But she was also still kind of the life of the party, but it was also bizarrely, if that makes any sense. Because she was by herself, and she kind of made friends with some strangers, and she even sat at their table. And it was all fine and good, but it was also weird. Like, she was saying things like she was from Mars, and she just seemed like disorganized, like almost in like a dreamlike state. It was just weird.
Yeah, like erratic.
Yeah.
But also, like, I can just picture this happening where, you know, she's sitting by herself. She's kind of talking out loud. She strikes up a conversation and then she moves over because it's still cool. But you're like, okay, but this is kind of weird.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, but, like, you're like, yeah, sit down. But also, but no. Why?
Yeah, like, or did you just say that to be polite? Like, yeah, I'm not into that. I'm not into that. I would not want that. someone I didn't know to be sitting at my table like that.
Well, also, I'm like, because I don't want to pay for anything that's not mine. Like, what if you, I don't know, her tab's not my tab, okay?
Well, we'll get into her tab. But going to eat places, like, there's some places here that do, like, picnic tables, and everybody kind of sits everywhere. And I'm like, no, these places give me anxiety. I want a table by myself with my people. I don't want to sit to people, like, next to strangers I don't know. Like, that is not my jam. But Matrice ordered, which, by the way, my country accent comes out so strong. I want to say Matrice, but everything pronounced it like Matrice, but, you know, more fluidly than my accent allows. But she ordered food and drinks. But again, it was just bizarre interactions. Well, her bill was $89. And when it came time for her to pay, she realized she ain't got no money. And at first, the staff was like, okay, you know, but like it needs to get covered. Now, I heard this part on an episode of Crime Junkie. I didn't see this anywhere, but they said that they'd actually called her grandma, and her grandma was like, yes, here's my card. Like, let me pay the tab. But the restaurant owner was like, no, you have to be here to sign for it. And so they wouldn't just let someone pay her the phone to get her out of this jam.
Which is so weird. Like, you want her to pay. Someone's offering to pay. Like, just take the money and
let her go.
Yeah. We were talking about something in the car going to New Orleans at our meetup. And it was like, we couldn't afford to eat there. And I was like, what am I going to do? Wash dishes? Because I don't have two nickels to rub together and my boobs don't touch. No, I said my tits don't touch. Because, like, you know, like, I have nothing to show to be like,
yeah.
Ooh, are you sure that yeah. I can't get this for free? I got nothing.
Yeah. The restaurant ended up calling the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. The deputies get there, and again, Matrice is kind of like talking out of her head. And so instead of making this kind of like a welfare check or just even like taking her for a psych hold, they ended up arresting her for defrauding an innkeeper. And she had let them check her car, and they found it was literally less than an ounce of weed. So they arrested her for defrauding an innkeeper and the weed. Well, the first thing is them not taking the money from the grandma and just like letting this be over. But then the second thing was how she was just arrested instead of she was clearly in some sort of distress, some sort of mm-hmm. mental distress, like take her to the hospital and then deal with the bill. Like, that's fine. Like, let's do that. Because again, remember, the grandma's like 40 miles away. She can't just like drop everything and come here, right? So at about 10 o'clock that night, that's when the sheriffs take her to the Lost Hills Sheriff Station. Now, when they get there, Matrice's mom, Latisse, gets in touch with the station. Now, she is not in a place that she can come right then because she had like a young kid at her house. And so she couldn't just like, it's 10 p.m. just be like, hey, let's wake up this kid and like take them. So she talks to the sheriff's deputies and is like, is she okay? Like, what's going on? This isn't like her. Like, this is like, I know she has this money. Like, she's working. Like, I don't know what's going on. And they're like, she's okay. And she's like, okay, are you going to keep her overnight? Like, is she safe? Like, what's going on? What do I need to do? And they're like, yes, she's fine. We will keep her overnight. You can come get her in the morning. So Latisse is like, oh, thank God. Okay. Because again, this is just so out of character for Matrice. Like, she just graduated college. She has a good head on her shoulder. She's looking into grad schools to go be, to get her freaking PhD in psychology. Like, this is someone that doesn't demonstrate erratic behaviors typically. So it's like, what the hell is going on? So her mom, Latisse, goes to bed and is like, okay, I'll go get her in the morning. Well, unbeknownst to Latisse, the sheriffs didn't do that. So they ended up like booking her. But the whole time she was there, she was like talking about gospel music to the person who booked her. And they were talking about karma and all of this. And I don't know. I just feel like with as much conversation as she had with the officers there, like the person that was booking her and all, like the fact that these next things happen, I'm just like, what? Like, it just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because a little bit before midnight, they actually let Matrice go. they were supposed to leave her in there all night. Now, technically on this part, they didn't do anything wrong because she was booked on two misdemeanors, defrauding an innkeeper and possessing less than an ounce of marijuana that was in her car. So technically, they didn't do anything wrong because they don't have to and kind of shouldn't just keep you there overnight for two misdemeanors, right? But the problem is Matrice, she didn't have her car. Her car was impounded. She didn't have her cell phone. She didn't have her wallet. She had no way to get herself home safely.
And again, it's midnight.
Correct.
And I want to think that they had a shift change or something and it was different police. They probably were like, oh, she's good.
Right. They said that they told her, like, look, you can stay in the cell all night. You can stay in the lobby. And she was like, no, I guess I'm just going to go. Because why would you stay in the lobby of this police station, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not comfortable.
Right.
And then you also, whatever she's going through, like, you don't want to do it there. You know what I
mean?
Right.
She's like, just like, get me the fuck out of here. Because, you know, she's freaking out.
Because she's already been arrested.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. She's freaking out. Just could you imagine being arrested for, you know, you have these, even if she was in her right frame of mind, like to be like, oh, my God, I just got arrested for defrauding an innkeeper and pot. And I'm trying to get my PhD and work with kids, like this could impact her future. And so you, mm-hmm. even if she wasn't having whatever mentally was going on with her, even if you took that out of the equation, I would be reeling and like, get me the fuck out of here. But she wasn't in her right state of mind and didn't probably even process the fact that she had no way home. She's 40 miles from her house. It's 12:15 a.m. when she leaves, and she has no money, no car, no phone, no way to call a cab if she wanted to call her mom, to call her grandma, to call fucking Morris Bart. I don't give a fuck. Call somebody. She can't call them.
And isn't the place a little remote?
Yes. And meanwhile, everybody who listens not from the South is like, who the fuck is Morris Bart? I don't know. It's some attorney here that's like, call Morris Bart for blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. Not sponsored. It's like a personal injury attorney. You know how they do. So she leaves at 12:15, and literally the only thing she has, like I said, is a shirt that she was wearing, the jeans. She had a brown hat and a pink belt and a set of keys, and she did have her driver's license. Well, and a citation that she had signed saying she was going to go to the Malibu courthouse on November 16th of 2009. Now, this station, like Donna was saying, is pretty rural. It's on the Malibu Canyon. The roads are winding. There's fucking coyotes. There's fucking mountain lions. There ain't no sidewalks, no streetlights. And they sent this girl out here, a 24-year-old, you know, young woman. They sent her out here at 12:30.
Yeah, that makes no fucking sense.
Like, where did you want her to go? Like, right. Where was she going to go?
The first thing is, like, you're supposed to protect the people. Even if they're arrested or whatever.
Yeah, but she was clearly in distress. And a lot of stuff talked about, too, like, this is a more of an affluent area because it's Malibu. And Matrice is Black. And so they're like, so you're sending a young Black woman out on her own in an area that people will not write, but they'll be like, she doesn't belong here. Who is this person? You know, it just sets her up for failure and danger. So the next morning, her mom calls the police station to be like, hey, is she okay? Yada, yada. And they're like, she ain't here. And she's like, what? What do you mean she's not there? Y'all told me y'all were keeping her all night. And they're like, no, she was fine. Nothing was wrong with her. We let her go. And Latisse is like, no, she wasn't. So she asks the police, like, no, like, I don't know where she is. Like, she comes and she's looking and, like, to see if, like, did she walk around, whatever. And she cannot find Matrice. And so she asks the police, like, okay, I want to put in a missing persons report because, like, where the fuck is she? And the sheriff's department was like, nah, it hadn't been long enough. Like, she's fine. And she, like, are you kidding me? What do you mean it hasn't been long enough? I'm sorry. I didn't know in fucking 2009 we still had, like, a timer on this shit. I thought we had learned at this point that the first 24 hours is the most critical, but apparently the Malibu Sheriff's Department didn't get that memo.
Right. That it's just like, you would think they would want to cover their ass too and just be like, yeah, let's do this.
No, that was them covering their ass, because if they put out a missing persons report and they were the last place she was, then they could be held liable.
Oh, true, true, true.
Basically, they told her mom, like, yeah, and if you few more hours, I guess, if she's still missing, come back. Maybe we can do something for you. And that came from Witness LA, but let me just go ahead and tell you all this too, that this was on an episode of the show Disappeared. There was good articles on LAist, LA Times, like I said, Witness LA, The Acorn, Washington, Informer. Like, those are the things that I use the most. Okay, so back to her mom and trying to get some sort of freaking missing person, some sort of something happening. So around 6:30 a.m., there was a Montanito, I think is how you pronounce it, resident that called the sheriff's department to say, hey, there was this black woman at my house, like on the back steps. And he's like, hey, are you okay? If you've ever taken a CPR class. And the woman was like, I'm fine. I'm just resting. And so he like, boop, called the sheriff's department. And by the time deputies got there, the woman was gone. And this ended up being Matrice. After that, it was another 6 hours. So we're talking 12 noon before they even issued a BOLO for Matrice. So like all this time, they could have put this out there and people would have quite literally been on the lookout for her to been alerted that someone's missing. This is her description, but they waited another 6 fucking hours. So now we're 12 hours from when she left the police department. And then they didn't start formally searching for her for 2 whole days.
Fucking ridiculous.
Basically, they're like, she's missing by choice. And it's like, no, the fuck she isn't. So they did find some things in her car because remember, they had impounded her car. There were some of her journals in there, and like there were some of her journals were in like spiral notebooks, and some of it was in like more nice, like bound books. And it seems like there was a lot in the journals. Like, they never published that I could find specifically what it said, but it seemed like you could tell she was going through something. Like, even the handwriting was different. Like, there were indications in the journals that showed them that she was going through a mental health crisis. The other thing is that there was a shit ton in her car, like makeup, clothes, purses, like all these things that gave clues that she may have been living out of this car, but she was also living with her great grandmother. So I'm not really sure what was going on with that. Because even when they disappeared, it said she had dinner with her great-grandmother like every Wednesday. And so I'm like, so was she there all the time? I don't know. I think maybe there's probably a few some details that I don't quite get. But they made it seem like it was a big deal that she had so much in her car, like she was living out of it. But this is giving me very like manic, you know, like just has all of her stuff and is like making friends with strangers, and, you know, it just feels very manic to me. But I think this was on the LA Times. It said that the investigators had gone through the journals, and it looked like, based on the journals, she hadn't slept in like 5 nights.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine.
So like I said, days went by before they even started the search, but then the search did start, and it went on for weeks. Matrice's family organized a lot of the search efforts. They had pictures everywhere, and they really were like the thorn in the sheriff's department's ass to try to make something happen. And eventually, the sheriff's department did basically pawn the case off on the LAPD, but it was just like everything that Matrice's mom tried to do, the sheriff's department was stonewalling her and blocking her. You know, she tried to get video surveillance from the sheriff's office, and they said that the like cameras and stuff weren't working. And it's like, I'm sorry, what? Like, what do you mean they weren't working? And come to find out, that wasn't true.
Like, what the actual fuck?
But on August 9th of 2010, almost an entire year after Matrice disappeared, two park rangers in the Malibu Canyon were like looking for marijuana, and they found human remains. And this was about 8 miles from the Lost Hills station. These remains were Matrice's. Her body, now this is kind of a lot, so like if you need to skip forward on like the state of her remains, please do. But her remains, she was naked. Oh, also, this was only 2 miles from the house that she had been spotted at. So, like, you can tell, like, if they had just done any little bit to have tried to have found her, like, if the officers would have responded in a timely manner, because, again, they were only 6 miles. The house where she was spotted was only 6 miles from the fucking station. Like, how long would it have taken someone to get there from the station?
Right.
And, like, they could have potentially, this all could have been avoided. But she was found naked. Her bra, jeans, all of her clothes were kind of scattered, like, more than 100 yards away from her body. But her clothes were, like, taken off. It wasn't, like, you know, ripped off by animals and stuff like that. Her underwear, socks, and shoes and shirt were never found. But the thing that the witness LA really highlighted was, what was weird is, like, her body was, like, mummified. It wasn't, like, decomposed kind of how you would expect it to have been, exposed to the elements for 11 months. And her femur was actually detached from her body and found uphill. And her arm was, like, just in, like, this really kind of weird position. And so it was just the, like, a very, very bizarre scene. Well, again, Witness LA said that the LA coroner was like, don't move the body. But the sheriff's department did and took her remains via helicopter to the coroner instead of letting the coroner come to the body, which is what it's supposed to have done. They didn't take any soil sample. Like, they didn't do any of their due diligence where her body was. They didn't do it. In fact, they even left some of her bones there that when her mom went to the area, her mom fucking found her finger.
Yeah, that is unacceptable.
That is disgusting. Like, not that she, the fact that she found part of her child's body because the fucking police didn't gather it as evidence is disgusting.
Yeah. That's like that story that the house burned down and they were like, oh, yeah, no one else is in there. And the people kept looking.
Yes.
And it was like, there's bodies under here. Like, yes. What did you not look? Like, what the fuck?
Well, and of course, this raises more questions because it's like, I thought y'all had searched this area already. Like, why did y'all not find her body? How long had it been here? Like, why was the leg, like, up there? And how were you not able to determine a cause of death? Because, like, okay, let me back up. I get how you can't determine, like, let's say that she was suffocated or something, and you're finding almost like mummified remains. Well, you're not going to be able to tell that. I get that. But what I'm saying is, you mean to tell me that y'all can't pin down how her leg was disarticulated from her body?
Right.
Like, because it's giving a little foul play, but you can't tell me that you couldn't have said without a shadow of a doubt, like, her leg was removed by wildlife. Her leg was removed by a fucking saw. Like, you mm-hmm. would have been able to tell that.
Yeah.
Now, some people think that she died of exposure, and of course, some people think it was foul play. But either way, her parents are like, the Lost Hills Sheriff's Department situation is to blame. So, like I said, they had asked for camera footage, and they were like, we don't have it. And, like, they were like, the cameras weren't in operation. But then later, they were like, okay, actually,
look what we found.
We do have some. Sorry. And they gave the family the footage, but it was definitely altered. Now, her family says that the department violated, like, Penal Code 135 PC when they moved her remains, despite being told don't touch anything from the coroner. And Matrice's dad actually wrote this letter to Kamala Harris because she was the Attorney General of California at the time and said that, like, basically pleading with her from, you know, a person of color to a person of color, and was like, the quote from the letter was like, you see, Ms. Harris, I look at you and I see Matrice Richardson. a young, intelligent, smart, black, and beautiful young lady who busted her butt in school to one day become someone who could be helpful and make a difference in people's lives.
You know what? When I first heard this, I don't think Kamala was
right
it on my radar.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. I know, I was reading it and I was like, wait, what? Wait, go back. You know?
Yeah.
Because you see these names all the time and they just don't stick with me. But I was like, wait, I actually know that name. And the family's like, we want answers. Like, we are going to keep pointing out the failures of this department because she should never have been arrested over this unpaid dinner. She should have been, which, I mean, okay, fine. We need to handle that. Let's get her some fucking help. And then do what you got to do. Arrest her. She had dinner. She didn't have her money. Meanwhile, she did, though. She did have her money in her car. She did have enough in her account. She just didn't have it on her. And she was so, I'm going to call it manic because that's the only thing I know to describe it, because I'm not a mental health professional and I don't know Matrice and I can't say what was really going on with her, but I do know that she had the money in her account. And if police had just taken just a second to talk to her and be like, here's your car, we're going to go through it anyway because they found the fucking pot in it. So here's your purse. Hey, is this your money? Why don't you run in and fucking pay it? Like, and this will all be over and just fucking let it go. Even if they had just let her pay, because again, you went through her car, you saw that there's her money, let her go pay it and then just fucking let her go. It's an ounce of fucking weed. Like, it doesn't even matter. It's 2009. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
You know? And, but even then she was clearly in distress and I would have said, you should have done something, but
she would have had her car.
She would have had her car. She would have had her money. She would have had her phone. They let her go clearly in a mental health crisis in the middle of night with no way to get in touch with anybody and in a fucking cavernous fucking road with coyotes and bullshit.
Right.
And she's fucking like barefoot. So the Washington Informer said that the video that the family got, it showed her leaving. It also showed a deputy leaving just 2 minutes after her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, who's that guy? Where is he going? Because here's the thing. The captain who's all over this, the one that said that he didn't have videos and then, oops, I do. That captain told them that there were no deputies at the station when she was in custody. Because it seems like they had like this older woman that was, I don't know why I gotta say she was older, but this I don't know if she was like a full-blown deputy or just kind of like an intake officer, but that was there like getting all of her stuff, getting her booked, that kind of thing. And so this motherfucker says, hey, yeah, there was no deputies. And then we clearly see a deputy leaving after her like 2 minutes later. And according to the Washington Informer at the time of this article, they were like, to this date, nobody has said what he was doing between the time he left the police station to when I guess his shift was over or whatever. Like when Matrice would have been gone missing, there's no evidence of what he was doing. Now, to be fair, if she had walked 6 miles and he left her 2 minutes later, like, to be fair, if he did something to her, I think he would have done it. Like, I don't think unless he did it and then she walked further, I don't know, you know.
Well, because he could have taken her somewhere else, a little bit further away or something, and then that's when she walked, like she finally, you know, he let her out, whatever, yeah. And she walked there.
But then he would have had to come back to get her to take her to kill her.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
And he may, well, and that's why I didn't say his name, because he may have absolutely nothing to do with this. But the fact that you said no deputies were at the station, then we clearly, because you know that that captain has watched that footage 875 mm-hmm. times. So like you saw that deputy leave after her and then to tell the family there were no deputies, like that's sus.
This could be completely false. So I can't remember if this is something that I heard or if I'm just making this up now, but I thought that the deputy was kind of flirty with her, too, or something.
Could be.
Where, like, they were talking and stuff. It wasn't just, like, she leaves randomly, he leaves after. It was, like, they had some kind of interaction and stuff, too.
I mean, it would make sense that they did, but I didn't see that. Well, the family is like, look, if this had been somebody else, if this had been, you know, someone more affluent from the area, someone that wasn't a person of color, someone who, I mean, think of all the fucking stars that have come through this with like DUIs and stuff, come through this Malibu, you know, sheriff's department. And it's like, are you letting them leave with no money, no phone, no car, or are you probably taking them home?
Right.
And it's just like, it's fucking negligence. Like, even if you did follow policy to be like, yeah, it was just two misdemeanors, we couldn't keep her. But I mean, let's just do our due diligence. Like, again, she was very clearly having some sort of mental breakdown. And the family sued for that negligence. And they got $900,000. And that was split between her mom and her dad. So they got $450,000 each. But I do want to say that I think this was on Wikipedia. Her girlfriend, Tessa Moon, says, like, Matrice didn't have any mental illness. Like, she stands by, like, she had no issues with mental illness. So I don't know what was going on with her. Like, no one actually knows.
I wonder if it was, like, a virus or Lyme disease. Does that do something?
Don't know.
Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, randomly, yeah. Like, she got bit by a fucking tick. And then, you know, like, just shit.
Well, it's not fucking Spider-Man, Donna.
Well, that's why I said tick. But isn't it something like that that could cause?
I don't know. But she's that age, like 24, I feel like, is that age where mental illnesses start to bloom. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the age where my anxiety and depression really took hold and I got on medicine. You know, that's kind of the age where people get diagnosed with schizophrenia. I feel like it's just this age where it starts to happen. And I don't know. And it seems like her family, you know, because her dad even says, a lot of people wronged my daughter that night. It was a wrongful release based on her mental state. So it seems like the family even recognizes, like, something was going on. We don't know what it was, but it was not right of y'all to let her out. And we don't know how she died. We don't know if it was foul play. We don't know if, like they said, she succumbed to the elements. We don't know what happened to her. And now we're fucking almost 20 years out and we still don't know.
Right. This one always just hurts my stomach because there are so many unknowns, but we do know that she died.
Right.
And it's like, but how? How do we have the body and we still have fucking questions?
Well, and like I said, because there's also so many ways that you can die that once you have that decomposition, like you don't know, a drug overdose or strangulation or, you know, if it's not a bullet or a stab wound or somebody getting hit over the head that damages the bones, there's no way to fucking know. And my heart just breaks for her family because it seemed like such a close-knit family. Like, her mom was on the disappeared, her aunt was on disappeared. Like, they just seemed so close and it just breaks my heart.
Well, and I feel like if they would have told her mom, no, we have to release her,
she'd have figured the fuck out.
Yeah. It would have been like, okay, hold on. Like, we'll get someone there. But they were like, no, we'll keep her. Like, duh, we're going to keep her. And then didn't call her mom and say, hey, we had to let her go or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
Ugh. And I feel like they just acted like, yeah, she's gone. Why would she still be here? And it's like, you told me that you were going to keep her.
Right. I want to say, like, even in, like, maybe some footage or something that you hear the officer say a 5150 and then they don't take her to a mental illness place. I'm like, how are you going to call? And I may be making this part up because I cannot even remember where I saw this, or I can't remember if it was on a podcast. I can't remember if I saw it on something, but if you are calling it a 5150 and then you're just going to arrest her and not take her for help. When you're literally, like, so 5150 is where you can put someone on an involuntary psychiatric hold. And it's usually for 72 hours. So, like, you knew enough to call it that. You knew enough to say something is wrong in this situation. And clearly it's mental. And then you're going to just fucking arrest her and let her go. That's the dumbest shit. And they are fucking liable for that. But here's the thing. $900,000 doesn't bring Matrice back.
Right.
And it didn't hold anybody accountable. Nobody got in trouble. Nobody lost their jobs. Nobody got sanctioned or whatever the fuck you do to police officers that I could find. just business as usual. I think they did change some policies, but goddamn.
Right.
You didn't get as riled up as I thought you would get when you already knew the story.
I think it's because I knew it, so I didn't get as
pissed.
Yeah, because I've already done that. I just remember listening to Crime Junkie and Obsessed with Disappeared and being so mad and being like, what the fuck? You know, after all the things. And so, yeah.
It was out of your system already.
Yeah.
It's pretty outrageous.
It really is. It really is. And that's not, when you think about it, it was 2009, which, yes, that's far away, but it's not far away. Like, that's not in the fucking 20s. You know what I mean?
It's far enough away that we're like, this happened so long ago, how do we not have answers? But it's not so far enough away that they should have known better.
Yes. Well, apparently, we just have California on the brain because I did a story based in California, too. And this is in Ojai Valley. It's, you know, just a tucked away little mountain town. It's got citrus groves, which you know probably smell just so freaking amazing. Rolling hills, thick trees, all the things. Now, the only reason I know Ojai is because of Bros and Hoes, which is not the show, but it was Brothers and Sisters. But they had a family winery that was in Ojai. And I listened to And That's Why We Drink. And M did this story. And they also were saying, it's a show that me and my mom watched. And I was like, Bros and Hoes, Bros and Hoes. And then they were like, Brothers and Sisters. And I'm like, oh, yeah. That's a real word. Like, that's a real one. But
me and I was like, Bros and Hoes? What the fuck is she talking about?
Me and my mom would always do it. But like,
I remember y'all watching that.
Yeah. Anyway. But I was just like, holy fuck. One, that other people watched it, because why was it canceled?
You just think it should still be running? Like any show that you liked, it should just still be running?
Well, it shouldn't have been canceled when it was canceled.
Gotcha.
No, I think everything has its course. I know, sure. There's a lots of Grey's Anatomy fans out there, but my goodness.
This is a hill I will die on. It should have ended before the plane crash.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's been like 10 seasons since then.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So how I picture Ojai is they lived in like a town in California, but Ojai was a good little drive away to go there. So it was more isolated, a small town. You know, that's where they would have those orange groves. You could have the fertile land, all of that. Well, if you've ever spent any time there, and, you know, I don't know them personally, so I can't ask them. But chances are people would know the name Charman.
Is this a Pokemon character?
The fact that you even know that a Charmander exists in Pokemon, that was close enough to Charman.
You know, I did the Pokemon Go. I rode around with you for a minute.
Oh, that's true. She didn't play it.
But I rode with you.
Yeah, she drove me around. Hey, there's a gem up here. Can I go and try to get it for my team?
Everyone uses it for health. Donna and me, let's ride.
Me and Marley used to go, be like, hey, Marley, you want to go for our lunch spin? Because where I lived, like, my brother could be on his couch and he could catch fucking Pokemon. Me, there was nothing at my house. And so I would be like, you want to go, Marley? Because there are like four different locations that you could go and collect things. So I would get something to eat and we would drive around like our little town and then come back. I remember though, me, my brother, my sister-in-law would drive, my brother, me, and my two nieces, we were all in the car and we would like go. And you know, if you played, you know, like where the gym is and stuff. And it would be like us, some people standing, and then like another car and another, and like we're all like fighting against each other trying to do this. It's so silly, but that was fun. Anyway, depending on who you ask, Charman could be a ghost, a monster, or just a man who was burnt and went insane.
Oh my gosh.
Now, either way, whatever he is in these urban legends that you hear, he's no longer the man he once was. They say he is beyond charred. He has blackened skin that's peeling and cracked.
Oh, my God.
And what you can see is that he has barely any clothes on. Like, he's not nude, but it's like his clothes were burnt, too. But there are some, like, scraps of cloth and some burnt bandages and, like, dirty bandages that he has tried to, like, nurse his wounds.
Jesus.
Yeah. Now, people claim that if you see him, before you see him, you can smell him because of the burnt flesh and the smoke. And, like any good urban legend, there's a ritual to summon him. Now, part of the ritual, if you're brave or, you know, naive enough, you are supposed to stop your car on the bridge at night, turn off the lights, and get out. And then you yell, help me, into the dark. And that's it. And the cry is supposed to be enough to send Charman into a rage. They say he'll come running out of the woods, shrieking and running at you, and he will attack you.
Why is he mad? Because you need help.
Well, you got to stick around. Now, originally, folks said that he used to linger around Signal Street and Shelf Road back when that was still a remote area. But with everything, even the most remote places have a population boom. And as Ojai grew, more houses popped up and the legend kind of moved down to a less populated stretch called Creek Road. And that's where you'll find what people now call Charman Bridge. Hence the bridge you have to stop on to get out and yell help. And again, like any good urban legend, there's more than just one backstory. Different people, different generations, you know, they've all passed down slightly different versions of how Charman came to be. Now, one of the earliest and the darkest, it goes back to the big brush fire of 1948. It was a terrible fire that burned a good part of the valley. It destroyed a lot of homes there. And again, this is when it was pretty remote. So the fact that it destroyed many homes means it traveled a long fucking way. And in that fire, there was a father and a son who were trapped in their cabin. Now, it was several days before anyone could get out to the remote areas to make sure everyone was okay. And when they got there, finally, they found that the father didn't survive. When, like, the rescuers finally made it, you know, saw the house was badly burned, they found the father's body hanging from a tree.
What?
Yes. And it was supposedly by his ankles, I think. But here's the really gross part, and you might have to skip forward. His skin had been, like, filleted off, like, stripped off. Because they say that the son, when he survived, he was like just trying to help and help and help. And he was like, I can help you feel better. I'll take your skin off. Like, I'll take the charred part off, just in his madness, I guess, from seeing his dad suffer and then die. And then he's burned and all of that. And so he did, but like, he basically, like, skinned his dad alive.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And before they got to see the son, he had disappeared. And they say that, well, that's who Charman is. He's the son. He had ran off to the woods. He hid out. And that's who you see. And so that's pretty fucking brutal. But then another version says it was a husband and a wife. And it was still the same fire, that brush fire. And we can only think about fucking all the fires we've seen in California now, just how brutal, how devastating they are, that this fire really changed a lot of people's lives, destroyed their homes and all of that. Now, people say no one died in these fires. when you like go through the museum and like historical things, but who knows? I don't know. But the urban legend says someone did. And in this version, the man was badly burned and he was unable to move at that point. So I don't know if like, you know, he was held down by something that had fallen off the roof, you know, something like that. But his wife was trapped inside the cabin and she was screaming, "Help me, help me." And he just had to lay there powerless, listening to her die and scream for help. So you can only imagine that kind of trauma and the energy it leaves there and all of that. And it's like, you can't walk away from that, from surviving that and still be whole.
Right.
And so the story goes that he became Charman. He was, you know, torn up about losing his wife, but more so than that, he wasn't able to save her. And, you know, he probably heard her scream, "Help me," so many times just laying there that when you do scream, "Help me," he comes running, trying to save his wife. So that's the whole "help me, help me" thing. I'm pretty sure you kind of thought that anyway.
Yeah, I did. I was like, did he like die trying to help someone? And well, I kind of thought more he died trying to help someone and he's angry, but I can definitely see that.
Now, there is another version where Charman is actually a firefighter. So again, would be your guess of helping someone where he tried to save others, but he ended up being, you know, consumed by the same fire that he was fighting. And now some people say he died in the fire. Others say he lived, but he was horribly burned and he didn't want to face the world again because he was so disfigured. And so he vanished into the forest and, you know, was never seen by society again unless you were out on that rural road and you saw him.
Good job with rural.
Had to really think about it. Now, as time went on, stories kind of changed and would kind of grow with the times. So, okay, there was a car accident that's what started, and then that blew up, and so there was a fire, and that he was so badly burned, he like jumped off the bridge, ran into the woods, and was never seen again. Besides, on some nights when you would smell that burnt flesh, then see him and wish you didn't. Then, of course, in every urban legend, there has to be someone with mental illness involved. It's got to be like an escaped patient from the asylum.
Because mental illness has so much taboo. Like, I feel like even in Matrice's case, like, I don't know if she had issues with mental illness, but even her girlfriend was like, she didn't have any, you know?
Right.
It's like, well, the family's like, well, some shit was going on, but I feel like her girlfriend was like, but she was fine. She didn't have any, you know?
Mm-hmm. So at this part of the legend, it is a man that had severe mental illness who escaped a facility nearby, and he had been living in the woods, so he was very feral. Their words, not mine. Now, there had been sightings from way back when, and no one could ever really find anyone. You know, like by the time like the police came, the kids were like, well, I don't see it anymore, or, you know, things like that. Or it was more just like, oh yeah, we were walking down the street and we saw him. So there was no like substantiated claims. But then in the late 1960s, something big happened. There were some kids who kind of took some other kids down and were like, hey, we're going to, like, you have to do this. Like, you know, you want to be cool? You want to hang with us? Like, why is that always the thing? Like, you have to prove it. You have to do all this shit.
Right. And like, at what age do you finally go, if I have to actually prove myself in this way, then I don't want to be your friend?
Yeah, like, no thanks.
It's not worth it. Okay, bye. I'd rather take a nap.
Right. Well, it's easier said than done now that we're sitting here both 40 and we've had a good friendship. You know, some people are just trying to have a friendship, trying to
absolutely be,
you know, where they belong and stuff. And so it's not as easy as that, but it's like, God, I just want to be like, don't do anything bad. You know, you don't have to prove yourself to anyone like that.
I know. I think about that actually a lot when I'm like, would I be that way in jail? Like, if I really was in prison, would I be that way where I like tried to fit in, did things I shouldn't do? You know, I know that's so ridiculous and niche. And you have a true crime podcast without telling me.
Yeah, no,
one.
I probably would too, because I'm scared. Also, I want some privileges. So I like with that, knowing people, doing things for people in jail, like that gives me some privileges, right? So the kids all were hanging out down there. They did the whole help me, help me. And then they heard someone running towards them out of the woods. And so they were like, oh, fuck, this is real. Like, holy shit. You know, again, like you want to believe it, but then you're like, it's actually not real. Like, again, there's no definite person who this is. So come on. But when you're out there at night and you hear these footsteps running out of the woods, you're going to turn and run too. There were several of them, but one kid was wearing a jacket and the jacket was ripped off. Like it, the whole Scooby-Doo of it, like, you know, like where they grab him and he like runs out of the jacket.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, cool. I'm so glad that clothes are big on you, because if they grabbed anything of mine, I'd be like, well, you got me.
Right.
I mean, the only way that that would happen is it would bust at the seams.
Right.
And I would get away, be like, oh, well. Or they could probably find a little hole, like a little tear in my thing. But it's not just like, oh, I slipped out of it because the arms were so big. And, you know, no. So that was so big because it was like, wait, this is actually someone charging at these kids and stuff. Like someone was out there and got this guy's jacket, blah, blah, blah. So it was all over the local papers. However, it was only a hoax. But the kids didn't know it was a hoax. The ones that got the jacket ripped off and stuff, they really thought it was real. But it was like some older kids that were like, oh, you know, like, again.
Fuckers.
Yeah. So part of them were in on it. Other parts weren't, you know. That just kind of made the legend, like, it brought new life into it. It changed it. You know, like, new people were hearing about it. But this is where you're going to be like, oh, God. Because it always comes down to this.
Jack Bagans?
No.
Okay, good. I'll still listen then.
No, this is worse. So Ventura County Historical Museum, they, again, are the ones who say there were no fatalities in that brush fire. Like, yes, it was terrible. Yes, lots of, you know, homes were destroyed, you know, all of that, but no people were there. So that kind of pokes a pretty big hole in some of those stories. But that's also the thing with urban legends. It doesn't have to add up perfectly to still be scary. And I feel like the more you pass on an urban legend, the more life you give to it, and the energy there can manifest as something.
That's true.
Now, again, other people like have said that they, you know, had seen a charred man walking near Shelf Road, and the teenagers would park there at the lookout point, and they would talk about this horrible, deformed figure lurching towards their cars. And so the police, you know, again, brush it off, but then more and more reports come in, and eventually the police like have to stake out this area to see like what's going on then. Like, there's too many of these reports to it not be real, but like also it's not real. So what's going on? And they traced it back to a real man. He was an elderly local, and he was badly disfigured. He had advanced skin cancer.
So motherfuck.
I know. But like his whole body wasn't affected. It was more just his face, I think, but probably his face and his arms. But he wanted to, you know, just have time to himself. So he would take his dog for a walk at night to avoid having to have people stare at him and stuff. So he wasn't dangerous. He was just private. But that's where the line between reality and a legend starts to blur. You hear about this char man, and then you see someone who isn't typical looking, and you put two and two together. And that reminds me of that damn Charlie No Face.
Uh-huh. I was thinking that.
It just breaks my heart. That's how these stories go, where reality is so much worse than fiction.
I swear, I was thinking that when you were talking about it. I was like, this is probably some person that truly has some sort of something. And these fucking people are so scared of what they don't know and they don't understand or what they've never seen before, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And have this person has probably been made fun of forever and ever and ever. And it's a real person. Well, it was.
Mm-hmm. And now other people say, well, that might have just been, he obviously hadn't been around as long as this legend has been around. So that could have been, you know, like, again, because of his appearance, he got stuck with this legend. Other people say that another guy, he will chase people from that area, but it's not always. It was just this one time where kids went and they honked their horn and they were screaming, help me, help me, help me. And he thought, oh, fuck, what's the commotion up there? And so he ran up there and was like trying to get to him. But then they hear is someone actually coming to fucking run. And they're like, oh, fuck. And so then they're running away. He's like, wait, what's going on? But he's, you know, like,
are y'all okay?
Yeah. And so they're like, no, he's real. It's not that guy. This is a real guy. Like, the legend is real. But he's just like, you know, fucking doing whatever he's doing up in the forest. Probably something I shouldn't. But then he's here.
Or just being a fucking lumberjack. Goddamn, fuck them kids.
Very true. And then he hears someone in distress.
And he tries to be a damn hero.
Uh-huh.
And becomes a motherfucking legend.
Right. Now, people say they're still seeing him. And it's not like, oh, this was forever ago. No, it's still now. Locals swear they see a hunched, blackened figure by the roadside. Hikers will hear wheezing and heavy footsteps behind them. And they turn around and they don't even find me there huffing and puffing behind them, but they find nothing. There was one kid that said he saw a face in the window of a little rock house near the bridge. And he said it was burnt and twisted and watching him. And I'm like, well, also, it could have just been someone who was in the house. And they're like, who the fuck's out there? What are they doing? You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Who knows? And if they had to clean their windows like I need to clean my windows, you can't see shit. Like, you would just know, like, someone's there, but I don't know. But the Charman of Ojai Valley is a big deal. There's even a Charman hot sauce now.
That's weird.
Yeah. It's called Charman's Revenge, and it's made with 5 fire-roasted habaneros. And the label says, watch out, because a sauce might bring the legend to life. Now, if it is really that man who had skin cancer and was deformed, that is just fucking terrible.
I completely agree. If it really is based on a real person, that's really shitty. But if it's really is like just some legend, then okay, who gives a shit? But if it's based off of an actual human, that's really fucking terrible. Mm-hmm.
And so we don't know if the Charman of Ojai Valley is real or not. It might just be parents freaking out the kids freaking out, you know, their fucking peers. Or maybe it is something, like I said, it was nothing. Like, now it's turned into something from all of the people talking about it. And they created a tulpa.
Mm-hmm. It's like when you were a kid and your mom said, y'all quit play fighting. It's going to turn into a real fight.
And it does.
Kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I always hated that too, because it's like, we're just doing this, but it does.
It literally always does.
Because someone's like going to accidentally do something. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I can't believe we both did something in California.
I know. I can't believe that you knew my story and didn't interrupt it at every turn.
I'm trying to be better. And I'm trying to let you tell your story how you want to tell it.
Mm-hmm. Well, y'all let us know what y'all think about these stories, because both of these are a lot to unpack.
Really?
It just makes me so mad about and for Matrice, because I feel like if she was someone famous or someone with money or whatever, this would never have even remotely happened to her. They would have just let her leave the restaurant. They would have just taken her to her car. They would have taken her home. They would have done all these things to protect her. And instead, she was just turned out on the street with literally no means of survival.
Right. And not like on the street. Oh,
like on Rodeo fucking Drive. No, right. She's literally like on the edge of a fucking canyon. I'm saying fuck a lot this episode. I'm very passionate. The sweet tea got me. But she's like literally on the edge of a canyon with a coyote one eye on her while he's sleeping because it's fucking midnight.
Right.
Well, y'all let us know what you think, because like I said, lots to unpack. Thank y'all so much for supporting us. And we know Patreon, this economy, not everybody can support us on Patreon, but the one way that everybody can support us, no matter if you're a Patreoner or not, is to like, subscribe, review, all the things, and remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.